Thank you, Philip. Thank you very much. And a good truth. Thank you, thank you. Okay, open your Bible, if you will, to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 5. What a wonderful truth. And truths are expressed in chapter 1 of the book of John. It starts in the beginning, and the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And then we go to the ministry of John the Baptist and his baptizing at the River Jordan and his proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. In chapter 2, we have Jesus visiting the marriage feast in Cana. Chapter 3, Jesus is back in Jerusalem and there he encounters Nicodemus who comes to see him. In chapter 4, we have them going back north to Galilee, and rather than going down into the valley and up the Jordan Valley, they go through the mountains, through Samaria, in what we today call the West Bank. And encounter with the woman at the well, and the wonderful truths that are there. Then Jesus comes in chapter 5, and he's preaching, really preaching a sermon to the Jews there. And he says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Wow, great statement. "And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And a wonderful verse that just jumps out at us, and such a good verse to preach. I come today to verse 40, and then we're going to look at some verses around that. And I just give you this statement as the title for the message today. Why people go to hell? Why do people go to hell? Now, in the answer to that question, I want to say some things that are perhaps misconceptions about that. First of all, people don't go to hell just because they're bad. Now, if we were to deal with the situation, there's a lot of things that we would deal with about that. Somebody doesn't go to hell just because somebody's mad at them. And somebody may try to order them to hell and tell them that's where they want them to go. But they don't go to hell because of that. Hell has pretty much gotten to be, in this day in which we live, just a curse word. That's all it's degenerated to. It's a place as much as heaven's a place. And why do people go there? They don't go there because they're good. They don't go there because they're bad, just because they're bad. I don't think they go to hell because they prefer hell to heaven. They may even say they don't believe in either. And that would have some effect in the place they would go. They don't go to hell because God can't save them. I talk to people sometimes and say, "Well, you know, I've just been so bad and I've just done this and done that. And preacher, if you just knew what I did, you'd know God probably can't save me." No, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. It's not because they've committed too many sins or sins that are too bad for God to forgive. Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners, the number one. He said, if you're looking for the number one sinner, I'm the number one sinner. And he truly was a horrible sinner because he was a religious sinner. He was a sinner who, barely thinking that he was doing God a favor, murdered the people of God. That's a horrible thing. And he called himself the chiefest of sinners, perhaps rightfully so. It's not because people don't go to hell because they don't understand things. You don't go to heaven because you do understand. It's not a matter of understanding. It's not a matter of intellectualism. It's not a matter of studying certain things. Then why do people go to hell? Jesus says in verse 40 of John chapter 5, ye will not come to me that you might have life. Now, people go to hell because they don't have life. Now, I'm not talking about physical life. And the Bible's not talking about physical life in this regard. It's talking about eternal life, spiritual life. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus when he said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Now, he said, I'm not talking about physical life. Whenever people read that, sometimes they say, and they ask the same thing that Nicodemus asked that day whenever Jesus said that to him. He said, how can a man be born as old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Nicodemus was making it a thing like reincarnation. But if a person could enter the second time into their mother's womb and be born, they'd be born the same way they were born the first time. They'd be born with the same problems they had the first time. They'd be born with the same nature they had the first time. Jesus said, what I'm talking about is being born naturally. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You've got to have a spiritual birth. As a physical birth put you into a physical family, so a spiritual birth puts you into the spiritual family. So, people go to hell because they don't have life. And this is a good thing to remember. It's an easy thing to remember. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You see, if you do not have the second birth, you're going to experience a physical death and then a spiritual death or separation from God forever and ever in hell. But if you're born twice, then you only experience a physical death and you do not experience the separation from God. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. It's a way to remember that. And it will help you with that, to just put that in a very simple term. Now, if people do not have life, then that's why they go to hell, because they do not have life. Now, I know all the things, the ramifications of that. It's because of sin. We have a sin nature, and we have personal sin, and so forth. Like, I understand that. But whenever you have life, you're born into God's family, and you have eternal life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, verse 24, in the same chapter here I read just a moment ago, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, what then would be the source of life? Where is that life? In the book of John, the same book of the Bible, in chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, in him was life. In whom? In the Word who came. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, the Word became flesh in verse 14. Follow my reasoning here. It just makes sense then that the one it's talking about, who was in the beginning as God, with God, came to earth to reveal to us God and God's will and to provide for us a sacrifice for sin that we might have life. Okay, in him was life. In whom? It has to be in Jesus. It has to be in him. In 1 John chapter 5, it says, there are people who do not believe the record that God gave of His Son in verse 10. And then in verse 11 it says, and this is the record. This is the record. Now, if you own a car, somebody might come and say, that's my car. You say, no, it's my car. Now, there's a way to settle that. There's a way to settle that. Somewhere there's a record of who owns that car. They find out neither one of you own it. It may be the bank that owns it. You never can tell. But there's a way to settle that. The record. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Okay, I have this ribbon from last Sunday. This is not I may give a better illustration whenever I do this. But I put this in here. I can say, he that hath this Bible has that ribbon. If you don't have this Bible, you don't have that ribbon. Because that ribbon is in this Bible. But life is more closely tied to the Lord Jesus Christ than this ribbon is to this Bible. He that has the book of John has John 3:16. He that has this book has the ink that's on this page. He that has this book has this page. That is in here. Just like the life of the flesh is in the blood, eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And whenever you have Jesus Christ, you have the eternal life. Because you have the same life He has. And whenever you die with that life, you go to the same place He is, because the life you have is His life. If you do not have that life, then you do not go to where He is. You are separated from Him forever and ever in eternal death in what the Bible calls the lake of fire or hell forever and ever. And it's not because you're not in the church. Now, I'm for church. I like church. Church is God's idea. But the church is not the way to heaven. Jesus Christ Himself is the way to heaven. Sometimes I say to people, do you know that when you die, you're going to heaven? And they say, oh, I was baptized when I was X number of years old. But that doesn't mean a thing, except you got wet. Unless you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you have received Him, because to receive Him is to get everlasting life. That's clear in the Scripture. It's very plain. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The last verse of John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son, he that believeth not on Jesus Christ, shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Now Jesus is talking with these people here, and he is presenting himself, much to their dismay and with their anger toward him because of who he says he is. That he is the source of that life. Now he says to them back here in, if you look back in verse 33, he talks about John And he talks about how they got excited about John and how they went out to see. And the John he's talking about here is the John from John chapter 1. Not the one that wrote the book, not the Apostle John, but John the Baptist, who preceded the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you were excited about John. And he said, but you didn't listen to him. You didn't listen to him. Because if you had listened to him, you would believe on me because he spoke of me. And then he says, you won't listen to God himself. Because the testimony of God at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said his testimony, the testimony of God the Father, is for me. That I am the source of life. And then it comes down here even to the scriptures in verse 39. Now he's saying to these religious people, he's talking to religious people. And he says, search the scriptures. Is it possible that someone would know the Bible? Quote Bible verses and teach in a Bible college? Preach in a church pulpit? And not know God? He says, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And he says, the very scriptures you're looking at testify of me. He says, you look to Moses. You read the prophets. You read the Old Testament. You read the instance of children of Israel coming out of Egypt. You read of the rock being struck and water coming out. You read about the fiery serpents and then the serpent put up on a pole and whosoever looks will live. You read about that. You read about the things that took place in the wilderness wandering. You read the law. You read the do this, don't do this, do this and don't do this and don't do that and do this and do this and do that. And he said, everything you're reading, you try to follow that and you think in those things, but those things testify of me. And he says, you will not come to me. You will not come to me that you might have life. Now, I want you to know that Jesus Christ personally is the source of this life you have to have if you're not going to go to hell. He is the source of that life. I want you to know he never franchised that either. A couple of years ago on tour with Voices of Victory, we went to Chick-fil-A headquarters. And Bob and Bev Dickinson, their daughter, works in the home office there. And she invited us to come. They gave us a big tour and everything like that. And they invited us to stay for lunch. Wow, now that was nice. They had they didn't just do sandwiches either. I mean, they did the whole smear. I mean, they did everything. It was there. And we enjoyed that thoroughly. But that was the same. That was the home office. But you know what? They got franchise all over everywhere. They got franchises everywhere. They have them. I mean, just everywhere. But the Lord Jesus Christ never franchised life, eternal life. He didn't do that. I don't have the power. I don't have the power. He did not franchise it to this church until I could say, now, if you'll come down here and you'll join this church and get in this water up here, you'll let me baptize you. And you'll become a member of this church, and you'll be faithful in attendance, and give a lot of money, and you know, you'll have eternal life. Well, that's a silly thing. It'd be silly for me to say it, and it's as silly for anybody else to say it as it is for me to say it. Now I can point you to Jesus. But we do not dispense eternal life as a church. We do not. It's not ours. We don't own it. Nobody has ever duplicated it. Nobody ever will duplicate it. It's not in a man, even here. There are false sources of eternal life. There are people who think if they can get hooked up with somebody who is what they call a man of God. And that's what these people called John the Baptist. They called John the Baptist a man of God. But if they were looking to John the Baptist for eternal life, they were wrong. Jesus said, John testified of me. If they were looking to the works that Jesus did, Jesus said, now the works testify about who I am. He said, the things I do, the miracles I do, he said, they testify about who I am. But some people get all taken up with the show. They like all the works that are done. They like all the things that are done. They like the show. I read 2 weeks ago, I think it was, maybe longer than that, a fellow who was how shall I identify this fellow? He was into the Christian music industry. He was known as a Christian rap singer. A Christian rap singer. That's what he was. Some things came out that were bad about his life. And in that thing, the whole thing, in an interview, he told people, he said, I've always been an atheist. He said, I don't believe this stuff. He said, I don't believe any of that. He said, I don't even believe there is a God. He said, it was just a way to make money. Now, there were people who were totally taken up with the show. Taken up with the show. But life is not in the wonderful things that happen. And I rejoice in wonderful things that happen. I mean, I've heard some wonderful testimonies this week of what God has done and the marvelous work. But life is not in those things. Life is in Jesus Christ Himself. Life is not in the Old Testament law. Life is not in Moses and the writings of Moses. Jesus said, search that out. Whenever he's talking about searching the scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures there. He said, search that out. And the very place you think you have life in those scriptures, they testify to me. He said, but you want to become fascinated with John. You are fascinated with the works I do. You're fascinated with the Old Testament law. But he said, unless you come to me, you won't have life. Now, I say what I often say. You can't have it both ways. I hear people say this. Well, Jesus was a wonderful teacher. And Jesus was a marvelous example. And he probably rose higher in the realms of morality and religion, higher than any person ever has or any person ever will. But he certainly was not God, and he certainly is not a Savior. Oh, that's crazy. Whenever he says this here, ye will not come to me that you might have life, he's either an egomaniac, or he is who he claims to be. And if he presents himself as the source of life and as the deliverance from hell and as the giver of everlasting life, if he is not that, he is certainly not a good man. He is certainly not a good example. He certainly is not one who is to be followed. He certainly is not one who is to be admired. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. But he says, whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Wow. It says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that He is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God by Him. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Turn that around. Then everybody who comes to Him comes to the Father. It's just the other side of the same coin. Well, then how do you get to Him? How do you get to Him? We sing an old song sometimes. Been a long time since we've sung it. But it says, come you sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded by the fall. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. And the chorus of it says, I will arise and go to Jesus. Oh, yeah. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Get to Jesus. How do you get to Jesus? Well, look what He said. Ye will not come to me. It must have something to do with the will. Ye will not come to me. It must have something to do with a decision that you make. You see, whenever someone comes to Jesus Christ, you've got to come away from your dependence on church membership. You've got to come away from your trusting your ability to live good. I talked at length to a fellow the other morning. And he said these words to me. I'm doing the best I can. Well, dearly beloved, that's not good enough. You say, well, it's the best I can do. I know it's the best you can do. And the best you can do is not good enough. The only best thing you can do is come to Jesus. You see, when a person says, I'm doing the best I can do, then they will not come to Jesus. I'm trusting what I can do. They're not coming to Jesus. Ye will not come to me. You will not come to me. Why in the world would someone not come to the Lord Jesus Christ when He is obviously the source of life and the source of life eternal and the source of life forever with God in heaven and the deliverance from hell? Why would they not come to Jesus? Oh, I think there are probably many reasons. Sometimes it's simply a matter of pride. Sometimes it's not at all rebellion against God. It's not that they don't like God. It's not that they don't like Jesus. It's just that, well, you know, I don't want to admit that. And this is generally what to say. I don't want to admit I'm not good enough to go to heaven. Sometimes it's because they think what people will think of them. Are you more concerned about what people think than what God thinks? Well, then obviously you will not come to Jesus. Because you're thinking more about people than you are about Jesus. Sometimes they just simply don't believe. They say, well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe those things. Now, it's a matter of the will. Do you know that people do not believe things because they're true? How many of you ever bought something that was not as the salesman presented it? Okay? Yeah. And the rest of you didn't raise your hand. If you've ever bought anything, you bought that too. How many of you saw that thing advertised on that infomercial on TV? And you said, after a while, you said, get my credit card. Give me the phone. I got to have that. Yeah. It wasn't like that at all. But you believed it was. If you hadn't believed it, you wouldn't have ordered it. You don't believe things because they're true. You believe things because you choose to believe things. You make a willful choice to believe. Now, I know some things you come to some understanding of and you say, okay, I'll believe that. I see that. I understand that. So we'll like that. Let me ask you this. Do you understand that you're a sinner? Do you understand that sinners owe a penalty for sin? Not to the church, not to the preacher. Sometimes it amazes me how people sometimes say, "Oh, better watch what I'm doing. Here comes the preacher." Well, who cares? I mean, God's there all the time. You understand you're a sinner? You understand there's a penalty for sin that you owe God? You have broken God's law? Do you understand that God loves you so much that Jesus Christ, the source and the container and the giver of everlasting life, came into this world, died on the cross for your forgiveness of your sins? So that you could have eternal life by receiving Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, the children of God. How does that happen? That's the second birth. You are born into His family. As many as received Him are born of the Holy Spirit into the family of God. And you receive Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus Christ, if this is Jesus Christ and this is eternal life, you receive it. Whenever you receive Him, you receive eternal life because life is in Him. Then it comes down to this. Will you receive Jesus Christ? Now, we love to have folks join this church. We love to have folks come be part of it. Whenever they've trusted Christ as their Savior, they receive believers' baptism. We love that. But that does not give you eternal life. It's Jesus Christ Himself. And we're simply carriers of that message. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. My question to you today is, will you come to Jesus? And will you receive Him, thereby having eternal life? Let's bow our heads in prayer.